I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Let me welcome you once again to It's a Good Life. Right now, let me invite you to open your Bible to Titus, the book of Titus. We're going to look at some things here today that Paul instructed Titus to do, and we can also draw some information about our own lives as we look at Titus, the book of Titus. Right now, let me pray with you. Father, I pray now that you would bless this program, bless the reading of your word, and Lord, I pray that the word would go forth without hindrance, that you would receive all the honor and glory. I pray for that person listening today, Lord, that person who's never trusted you. May that person come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ even today. And I pray, Lord, for that person who has trusted you. May that person, Lord, who has trusted you, live for you, serve you, and have the testimony that is pleasing to you. And may each of us, Lord, strive daily to serve you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in the book of Titus, we read something of Paul the Apostle as he is instructing Titus here. Paul had left Titus in Crete to set things in order in the Cretan church. We see this in verse 5. It says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." In the churches that God has established, there is to be certain things to be done in order. Everything is to be done in order. God is not the author of confusion, and he's left us his word to guide and direct us in these matters. And in Titus, we're reading how Paul was instructing Titus to do certain things to help the churches. Now, Paul says in so many words to Titus, do the following to set things in order. We pick up here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul tells Titus, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Well, what is sound doctrine? Sound doctrine is solid teaching, solid preaching of the Word of God. Nothing left out, no sugarcoating. Just tell it like it is. Don't be afraid to tell people the way God has said it in His Word. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 2, he goes on to say, to teach this, Titus, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Well, as we look at these words that Paul has instructed Titus about here, that the aged men are to do certain things, first, they're to be sober. This means not fanciful or speculative, and not to speculate or guess about salvation. And they're to be serious about the things of God. Do you know we're to do the same thing today? We're not to be speculative. We're not to be fanciful. We don't speculate or guess about salvation. We know that salvation is of the Lord. And we're to be serious about the things of God. We're not to make light of the things of God. And when we do that, we're making fun of God, and we should never do that. That's blaspheming God Himself. Well, Paul goes on to tell Titus about these older people. Now, this does not necessarily mean the aged men. It does not necessarily mean that they're really old people. It simply means, now they could be old people, but I believe it's speaking of those who have, they've been in the Word of God and they've learned the things of God, and now they're getting further instructions here. They've been saved for maybe some time. And Paul says that they're to be sober, first of all, and then grave. You know, the Christian life is not all fun and games, but is an awesome responsibility to God. You know that we're ambassadors for God. We are to represent, and we are representing God. When people see a saved person, they are actually seeing an ambassador, someone who is representing the God of heaven. And what an awesome responsibility that is, and what a great privilege it is to be able to represent God, the Creator of all things, the Savior of mankind, that is the Savior of those who will trust Jesus as Savior. And then Paul goes on to use the word temperate. We are to restrain ourselves from wild behavior and attitude. That goes along with being grave, but it carries it a little bit further. We're to restrain ourselves from this behavior that is unbecoming to a Christian. And we're not to have the wrong attitudes as we go through this life as we serve God. Well, Paul goes on to say that to be sound in faith. He says, know how you got saved and who saved you. In other words, there's to be no doubt. I believe that one of the greatest hindrances to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of people giving out the plan of salvation to other people in this world, one of the greatest hindrances to this is for that person who's giving it out not being assured themselves of their own salvation. People get so wrapped up in worrying about their own salvation that they're not able to tell other people how to go to heaven. Know for sure that you're saved, that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Get it settled in your mind and in your heart, and then serve God, taking the plan of salvation to people of this world so that they too will be in heaven one day with you. Paul goes on to say, and he uses the word charity. Now we know this word means love, and it carries a little bit further here. This is impartial love. Everybody is to be loved the same. Jesus makes no difference who you are and who I am. All need Christ, and all Christians need the love of other Christians. We should make no difference in the person who's in the ghetto, the person who's on the street, the person who is homeless, the person who has $1 million in the bank. We should make no difference in those people. If they've never trusted Jesus Christ, they need salvation. And all Christians need the love of other Christians. We need to love our brothers and sisters. People make mistakes, even as Christians. And we shouldn't put them down. We should help raise them up. We should help them regain the fellowship, if they've gotten out of the will of God, regain that fellowship with our Lord and Savior. Because if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. We need to share that with our brothers and sisters in Christ so that they can be serving God and telling other people about Jesus Christ. And notice, Paul uses the word patience. This is not losing control when provoked, staying calm. This may be one of the hardest things for Christians, is not losing control, because, you know, we're still human. And when somebody does something wrong to us, the normal thing is for us to lash out. But Paul tells Titus that we're not to do that. We're to stay calm and do the things that God wants us to do. Maintain the Christian testimony. Well, as we read on here in verse 15, well, what was Titus supposed to do with the things Paul said he was to teach? Paul says in verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You see, I believe that the inferior behavior of Christians today is like the behavior of the Christians Paul had left Titus to correct. Titus had a real challenge as he sought to plant sound, doctrinally stable churches. Well, I believe the challenge today is not only to plant sound and doctrinally stable churches, but to find one as well. The challenge today is not unlike the challenge Titus faced in Crete. What Christians must be taught today is found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul says there, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul does not say in 2 Corinthians 5:17 to try and adapt biblical teaching to the behavior of Christians on the customs and culture of their previous environment. In other words, their previous unsaved life. The environment surrounding Christians today will not change as long as Christians give in to the ungodly environment of the world. In other words, we're not to be like the world. We're not to look like the world. We're not to smell like the world. We're to be different because we are Christians. If this country is ever going to change and be a Christian country, then Christians need to stand up and be Christians. Every one of us need to have that Christian testimony, because we are new creatures in Christ. Old things are to be passed away. We're to get away from those things, because all things are become new in Jesus Christ. Well, Paul continues in Titus chapter 3. And I'd like to read down through verse 4 here, Titus 3 and verse 1. Paul says to Titus, put them, that's the people of the church at Crete, and he's speaking to us as well here. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Put things in order, he's saying. To speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. He says the people that we're to reach today, we were just like them at one time, but now we've changed because we've trusted Jesus as our Savior. And Paul goes on to say in verse 4, but after that, the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. We received Jesus Christ through His kindness and love, the love of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But notice it appeared to all men, to man. It appeared. In verse 5 of Titus chapter 3, we're reminded that it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, Paul goes on to say, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. That's a good testimony. These things are good and profitable, Paul says, unto men. Now, Paul seems to end this epistle by leaving Titus and us with the following in verse 14. He says, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Do what God wants you to do, he's saying here. Have that great testimony, that testimony of God. Show the people of this world that your works be not unfruitful, not to be saved, but because you are saved, and you will lead people to Christ. Verse 15 goes on to say, all that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Do you love God today? If you've never trusted Him, why not do so? Ask Him to come into your heart. And if you do know Him, live for Him. And let Him lead you through this life.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.